Thank you for having us. It is good to be with you folks again this morning. And we just do count that a privilege and an honor that we can be here. How beautiful the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Not as hard to do that at this time of year, it would seem. Although I know sometimes there are circumstances that are grievous to face, even in the midst of a very pleasant time of year such as spring. This is my favorite time of year. And I do love this, seeing all the wildflowers in the forest and everything about being down here in the woods in springtime. It's inspiring. We were driving along not too far yet from home yesterday, and one of our girls, we'd gotten on a crooked stretch of road, and one of the girls said, are we just about there? I said, well, no. Oh, she said, I remember when we get before we get there, it's a very crooked road. So it's nice to be here. And I do thank the Lord for His presence here this morning. That's what makes the difference. That's what we need. We've already given a good testimony this morning. I hope you meant it. Because we all sang, I think, to do His will, my highest prize. Now, if you can say that as your testimony this morning, that's saying a lot. But as God's people, as holy people that are living by the command that God gave to be holy because He is holy, we all ought to be able to give that testimony, to do His will, my highest prize. I believe that's what it takes to be a missionary. If there are other things in the life that are close competitors even, to say nothing of getting ahead of that one aim, then we're not ready to be a missionary wherever God would put us. I do believe God is speaking today. I do believe He's still calling workers into the harvest field. Lord, give us ears to hear. In Revelation, that was repeated several times. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. We need that. That's an admonition, something we need to live by today. He that has spiritual ears, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Because I believe He's speaking. Well, thank the Lord that He is sending forth laborers into the harvest field. We need to keep praying that He'll send forth more laborers. I believe He's doing His part to do that. I'm not sure where all the failure may be, but I know it's not on God's part. There are prayer cards back there on the table. If you didn't get these at an earlier time, they are back there for you to have. Or if you have an older one than these are, you might want to pick up a new one. We have pencils back there that say, Pray for Pilgrim Missions. We'd be happy if you'd take one of those. Also, since last year, we've had a change in the way we do sign up for the letters. We don't have a sign-up sheet back there because there are envelopes for Pilgrim Holiness Missions. If you want to use one of these for that purpose, it's fine. Just fill out your name and address so you can get those quarterly letters that come from the Pilgrim Holiness missionaries. You can also use it to make a pledge. You can use it to designate where you want an offering to go. So it has several purposes. Feel free to pick up whatever you would need of those back there at the table. I've had the privilege of being on all the mission fields we work with in the last few months. December and January, I was in China again. I always look forward to that. Had a fairly large group that went with me this time. Brother Glick and his son Jonathan were there, and four others, another teacher and some students. So that was a little different from what I've been doing in recent years to have that many with me. Also, my sister and her two children traveled with us once we got to China. We joined them in the city of Hangzhou where they live, and they traveled with us. So we had 10 altogether. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later maybe, but an update on the fields in Antigua and Dominica. Things are coming along with the property there in Antigua. There are some situations that could hinder a bit. Excuse me. Where the closing on the property has been held up is that we had applied for a tax-free status. Well, we've found out recently that that's very difficult. Antigua's in a very much a state of turmoil right now, politically or financially especially. Of course, all the world is affected by the economic crisis that we're in. But more than that, there's a man, an American, rich American, who had invested lots of money in property, businesses, banks, and so on, down through the Caribbean islands and into Venezuela. His name is Mr. Stanford. He had invested a lot of money in Antigua, so much so that when we were there, they had just allowed the FBI to come in to try to catch up with him and all the fraud that he's been involved with, apparently. And that was closing down some of the Antigua banks. It was affecting them very, very strongly. So in that situation, we've been told recently, it's impossible that now we would get the tax-free status, so we might as well go ahead and close on the property. And of course, that means we're going to have to pay a little bit of tax there, or whatever the percentage is in taxes on the property. The realtor didn't want to see that happen. It was one reason for stalling. But we're going to have to go ahead and do that closing. We're eager to get into the building phase there in Antigua. The little tent, 30 by 40. I don't know if you can visualize that 30 by 40 space, but it's not very big. You'd fit several of them into this auditorium. And talking to Sister Lyne just a week ago, she was giving me some of the recent attendance. She said one time was 76, I believe, and the next Sunday 78, and then for Easter they had 85. So can you imagine cramming that many people into that space? She said they have benches up on the platform so they can seat people up on the platform all around the preacher. That's the way they get them into that space. So we are needing that building. The board, the missions board for Pilgrim Holiness Missions, has decided to take on the project there in two phases. We already have blueprints drawn up. And, of course, it's important to get that closing done so that we can go ahead with the various permits and tests that are needed. They could go ahead and do the percolation test if we would give them the go-ahead on that to proceed toward being able to build. Well, the two phases we're going to do, the blueprints are drawn up with a full lower level beneath an upper level. Being on the hillside, you would enter the upper level at ground level pretty much on the upper side, and then you would enter the lower level at ground level on the lower side of the hill. Does that make sense? That's basically how it's planned, and I think that's going to be good. We had thought at first we might just build a mission home first, but the people there didn't want to do that. Even if there was space left below for a church temporarily until the church could be built, they didn't like that idea. I guess in their culture that just isn't right to have the church below and the home for the missionary above, or for whoever would be there, the home above. So we're going to build the lower level first as phase one, and that will include what will be living quarters, at least temporarily, for a missionary. And then the back part, there's already enough space that we could leave out some partitions and have a fairly good-sized meeting room until we can build the full auditorium up above, which would, of course, be phase two, the auditorium above. They don't need to have slanted roofs down there. You know why you have a roof with a slant on it? It's because you live where there's snow, and you want to shed the snow off. So flat roofs are common down there, so the floor being temporarily the roof is going to be no problem at all for there in Antigua. Pray for the Lines, Brother and Sister Charles Lyne. The enemy doesn't allow this kind of thing to happen, the Lines getting out there. And if any of you, I don't know, how many here know the Lines? Oh, there are quite a few of you. Did they come down here and speak before they went to the field? All right. Well, help us pray especially for Sister Lyne. She's had one attack after another of infection and has had to take antibiotics for it. She's now afraid that if she takes the antibiotics too many times, they'll lose their effectiveness. So she really needs a touch from the Lord. She had an attack over in Dominica while we were there for the leadership conference. Brother Sutherland and I went down in February for their leadership conference in Dominica, went by way of Antigua and visited that field also. Brother Sutherland preached there on their prayer meeting night Wednesday night before going on to the leadership conference in Dominica. But Sister Line, being the main cook of the house down there while the rest of us men were doing what we could to help, but maybe not a whole lot, she was too weak really to be carrying all that responsibility with the infection that she had. But pray for her. She just told me lately that when she went to the place of prayer, she felt God directing her to open the Bible to a place that she wasn't reading in her daily readings just then. So I believe it was Psalm she opened to, and I can't remember the reference of the verse that was there, but it was something about healing. And she said, I believe God wants me to claim healing. So since she is stepping out in faith, let's back her with our prayers. God wants to continue to use the lines there. They're certainly not just young people anymore, but they have been very effective for the kingdom, for the Lord. Also remember the need that is so great there, that some more of these people really get saved. That's something we need to pray about. These people, there are some of them that are regulars, they're very faithful to come, but very few of them have really gotten saved. So we're praying for the right person to go down for a revival meeting. I've asked Brother Halstead down in Florida if he would be able to go. He knows that culture. He knows some of those people that are in Antigua now that used to be in Dominica when he was a missionary to Dominica. I haven't heard definitely whether he's going to be able to do that or not, but let's pray that God will send someone so that they can have the revival meetings there that they need. Different ones had prayed for this leadership conference in Dominica, and we were concerned. We didn't know just exactly how things were going to go with some situations that existed there, but God did step in. We didn't have any confrontations. We didn't have anybody get mad and walk out or anything like that, so that could have happened, really. But we do thank God that He stepped in. We have, for the present, retained only the executive committee of the field committee, and that seemed to be a vast relief to Brother Jacob Lockhart, who is the field chairman in charge of the work. He was feeling that he needed, especially with one of the brethren there, to confront the man and to tell him that they just couldn't use him in the spiritual condition he was in. Well, that's tough, especially for a man like Brother Lockhart, who is the kind that would prefer to kind of fade into the woodwork. He's not the kind that wants to be up front calling the shots, but he does realize when God has his thumb in his back and asking him to do something. So it really got done what needed to be done without his having to do really any of it. So he was very, very relieved. In fact, he was just exuberant for the rest of the leadership conference. He was just rejoicing in the way that God had answered prayer for them. We do need to pray for missionaries for these two fields, Antigua and Dominica. The McVeighs, who are missionaries in Dominica, are a little older yet than the Lines. I think he's in his early 70s. She's the same age as the Sutherlands are. So they're in the States right now, have some family matters that are detaining them. And Sister Jean really needs a touch from the Lord too. The doctors are trying to find out what she's been suffering from for some months now and are not able to locate it. So they probably won't be going down before September, except that Brother McVeigh may go down for a few weeks of the summer, get things ready for camp and organize there. He's willing to do that without her going down, so he may be there for some of that. But pray for the McVeighs also. Before we go any further, I'm going to let the girls come and help us sing this morning a couple of songs, actually, one of which has some Chinese. So we'll do that now, and then my wife will come to you with what she has.
We sang a phrase this morning in one of the songs about seeking the lost, pointing to Jesus, hearts, how did it go? Souls that are sick and hearts that are sore. Here we're all so comfortably situated and pretty much everybody looks like a Christian, and you kind of get used to the Christian community, but there are those sin-sick, sore hearts out there. This is kind of the circles I'm in these days. Some of you know I've been in grad school and I'm doing my internship now, working in a homeless women's shelter in Anderson. And almost every day, without exception, I come away feeling that I'm rich, really rich. Those are people who have nothing except burdens, and then burdens, and then more burdens, sore, sin-sick. And sometimes you feel, after you've listened to their stories day after day, how can I listen anymore? There's so much pain, so much heartache. But I'm so glad to be in their path, that I have something that I can tell them about, that there is a great burden bearer. There's one lady, every time I talk with her, she talks about the guilt. Come from a terribly rough background, abusive husbands, And these people you'll find have gone through maybe 2, 3, 4 marriages. I'm talking to another counselor this week who's one of his clients that he sees has a mother who's been married 5 times, and the pattern is repeating itself. It's just a matter that our country has gone so far in the other direction that divorce and remarriage is not even blinked at anymore. But it's so good to know that there's a cure for that. And so this is one of my requests. Yes, I'm working with rope holders, and these are for missionaries mainly that are overseas. But folks, we have so much heartache and brokenness right around us, right at our doorsteps. We have a mission field right here. One lady I talked to a few weeks ago, one couple, and I was asking them, what do you do to nurture your spiritual lives? And they just kind of looked at me, well, what's that? And I said, do you ever read the Bible? They said, we don't even have a Bible in our home. Well, this is America. Bibles are everywhere, and yet I meet one family that has not had a Bible in the home. And these were not young people. This couple was my age. Broken people, without hope. But thank the Lord, there's a source of hope to go to, and I've just been so grateful that down in my heart I can say I've proved it, and I know it's true. No, I haven't trod the ways of sin like they have, but I can witness that as a young person, I chose to let God have my life and have my choices. He chose what's best, and I'm 100% and more satisfied with His way. So if there's somebody at your doorstep that needs help, give it to them. That's what they're there for, and that's what you're there for. Yes, I do want to encourage you to keep praying. Pray for missions, but we also need to pray for one another. We're all in different circles. Some, such as myself, who works with broken people constantly. We need your prayers. We need the support of one another. And then it is good, though, to set our needs aside and focus on missions. It's just been a wonderful privilege. Sometimes it includes a lot of work to keep up with the rope holder's work, to just be there to take in the requests and then send them on out to you. But also, we get some really good, fresh, encouraging reports this way. Those of you my age remember the days when we would have to wait for the snail mail to get the new missionary letters to us, and by Easter time, we'd be hearing about Christmas for them. Well, it's no longer that way. We have instantaneous mail that we can get and just be right on target with them. This is a wonderful thing for missions, because we can pray currently for their needs. That's what our emergency prayer band is for. I'm happy to say that we have nearly 500 people that are on the email list now that have promised to stop and pray immediately. And folks, it's making a difference. I'm just so thrilled every time we get a report. First, the request comes through from the missionaries, and they say, please get this need out. And then if the missionary takes a moment, which they don't always do, they don't always keep us informed, but some of them do, that we could tell when people started to pray, that situation turned around. I want to share with you this morning a couple of requests from a mission field in Brazil. This would be with the Evangelical Wesleyan Church. And the missionaries are Delbert and Sheila Howard. I don't know if any of you here know the Howards or not, but my husband and I have known them for many years. But he sent in about a month ago a request, and when we visit the churches, I do like to give a few more details, because we cannot possibly publish all the details from the fields in our mission, our rope holders' letters that we send out. But brother, just let me give you one situation where God definitely came through in answer to prayer, and then another one that we really need to concentrate on, and our church there in Kokomo has been concentrating on this for about a month. Ruben, who is in charge of our construction in Santiago, now they are opening a new first-time holiness church in the city of Santiago, and the Lord has really been moving, but as you can imagine, the enemy has been fighting. Ruben is also has most of the responsibility for the prison ministry there. He told us that the devil fought him terribly once this month to keep him from going to one of our prison services. This one Saturday, he said he was discouraged, tired, and the devil was throwing every excuse at him to not go. He finally asked God to give him strength and rebuke the devil and left before he could change his mind. He got to the prison, and one of the guards started to give him problems. They told him to go back home because no one wanted a church service. When he pressed to talk with some of the prisoners that he has been working with, they strip-searched him and checked and rechecked paperwork, trying to find some reason to refuse him entrance. Finally, after not finding a way to discourage him, finding no reason to keep him out, the guard let him in. Reuben said he felt Satan's demonic forces against him the whole time, and he went in pleading the blood of Christ. He said he saw one inmate that had such a dark cloud of evil about him that it was about suffocating. He made motions toward Reuben that left it clear to Reuben that he would like to kill him. More determined than ever, Reuben continued to plead the blood of Jesus and pray and tried to start the church service as they always did. Few showed much interest at first, but after a little bit, that heavily oppressed man came and sat down near him for the service. Soon after that, others started drifting in until eventually every one of the inmates in that sector, as well as all of the guards, had pulled up chairs for the service. The oppressed man that had wanted to cause problems at the beginning broke down during the service and started crying. He told Reuben that he had made plans to hang himself that day and end it all. He begged Reuben to pray with him and thanked him over and over again for saving his life. Reuben said he knew then why the devil had fought him so hard that day in going to the prison for service. Reuben said if he hadn't obeyed God, he has no doubt that man would be gone out into eternity without God. By the time Reuben finished telling us this incident, he was crying and asked for prayer that God would help him to always be faithful to the Holy Spirit and defeat the attacks that Satan sends his way. If God puts it on your heart to pray for a missionary, pray then, because it may be just like this missionary here that was just oppressed, and the enemy tried hard to keep him from going. But think what would have happened if he hadn't have gone. And then, I don't know if any of you remember, about 4 years ago, the request came through rope holders for us to pray for this same missionary couple in Brazil who had been working with a witch. Her name is Sandra. And God was mightily dealing with Sandra. She had been in witchcraft her entire life. And the church prayed, the rope holders prayed, and God mightily delivered Sandra from witchcraft. She got out of it, but the devil hounded her relentlessly. At that time, she had a son and a daughter, and her children were both against her. Well, she did well for a short season, and then she started to get cool. She lost grace, and she quit coming to church. And of course, you know what happened. The devil came back in. And it was a very sad situation. Well, we didn't hear about Sandra for a while. So I wrote Brother Howard back, and I said, can you give us an update on Sandra? And moreover, I said, we'd really like to have a picture so we can visualize these people. And I have one with me. I'm going to put it on the table back there. I want you to look at it and get these faces in your minds. Her son's name is Anderson, and her daughter is Fernanda. Let me just read you the report that Brother Howard sent back to me. Sandra, along with her son Anderson and her teenage daughter Fernanda, have all three started coming back to the church and attending services faithfully. Anderson has gotten saved and has a glowing testimony for the Lord. Now remember, just 4 years ago, he was deep in sin, wanted nothing to do with religion, but God was faithful, and he is now serving the Lord. Anderson is in the process of finishing a small building on his mother's land to be used for Bible study and prayer. He said the land had been used for so many years for witchcraft, and so many lives had been destroyed and hurt due to his mother and family's involvement, that he feels that it should be used now for God and wants to try and make up for part of the damage his mother and family has done in the past. Sandra is very friendly to us, but she admits she is demon-possessed again and has a long ways to go before she will be free again. She knows she must start over where she left off, but she is not even sure she is ready or has the will and strength needed to get back in the battle. But she says she cannot fight against her own son and what he is trying to do for God. Sandra's daughter, Fernanda, is about 13 years old and very friendly toward us and very demon-possessed. Fernanda admitted the other day that she needed lots of help and prayers, but she is not really ready to get serious yet. Needless to say, God has not given up on them and continues to deal with them. Once they decide to actually get serious, it will be another long, hard battle. But God is able to give the victory. Keep praying for them as well as our pastors. I just would like to challenge you as a church. Take this family on. You young girls, start praying for Fernanda every day. You boys, pray for Anderson. You adults, pray for Sandra. Let's just watch and see what God would like to do in answer to prayer. And I promise you, if I ever get good news about this family, I will let you know. I just believe that as God's children, we have the right to come and ask. And so I beg you, let's just put on your armor a little tighter. And let's bind together to see Satan defeated and the enemy driven off and these precious souls saved for Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. I would just like to encourage you young people, there are a lot of young people here this morning, pray until you know what God wants you to do with your life. There's no such thing as some people being called and other people not being called. There's only the need to find out where God is calling us to, because he has a call for every one of our lives. And I really believe that preparation is important. We just had preview days there at Union Bible College this Thursday and Friday. As the chair of the missions department there, I'm just concerned that there are not more young people that are feeling the call to missions and getting the preparation that they need. And I do believe if we'll really seek God, that he'll be sending us, as young people, he'll be sending you to a place where you can be prepared for the work God has for you to do. Now, I'm not saying that It's all to one Bible college. You find out what God wants for you. And He'll guide. He'll be faithful to let you know step by step. I found through my life that it hasn't really been like some other missionaries' lives. I've heard missionaries say, I knew since I was 6 years old, 8 years old, or whatever, where I was supposed to go. Well, I haven't. God has led me step by step. And I haven't usually seen very far in the future. Much before it actually happened, I wouldn't have seen myself doing this. But God just leads faithfully step by step to what we're supposed to be doing. I would love it if He'd put us back in China. But God knows when and where and what He wants for us. And I'm just happy with the witness that I'm in the center of His will. Nobody has to settle for less than that. I'm convinced of that. We don't have to settle for less. Well, maybe before we close this presentation, I'll give an opportunity for any questions that you might have about any of these fields we've talked about or about rope holders. But I wanted to tell you just a little bit more about the China trip we took. It seemed that especially on this trip, God was helping us to reach out to the Christians that are there. Now, it's usually a mix of at least three different kinds of people that we're meeting. We're meeting Christians, helping them, bringing literature to them, and we took in quite an amount of literature, two sets of the Betty Lukens Felt that tell the Bible stories. They love to get those because they're not available in China. It's illegal to convert anybody in China under the age of 18, so child evangelism materials are very important to them. And they don't even seem to mind that that's not the most sophisticated way that's come up the road in giving the Bible stories. They are highly aware of technology over there, but they're just delighted to get those Betty Lukens sets so they can tell the Bible stories to children that need to be hearing them. Pray for those as they've gone forth. I wish I had kept track how many of those we've taken into China, but they keep asking for more. I asked them again this year, took them two, and they still want more. So let's pray for those that they'll make a difference in the lives of children. Also, there are books that we take in, a lot of them devotional books. One of the ones they like best is the book that is titled Knowing the Truth. It's actually three smaller books combined. They're by Chinese authors and written in Chinese for the Chinese. So that always makes a difference. Of course, a Chinese can express things in a different way that's more suited to their culture than you would get if you're simply translating something in English that fits our culture into their language. So they will like that book, Knowing the Truth, and it's just good basic doctrine about who Jesus is and the way of salvation, the things that they need to learn as new Christians, or even those that are considering becoming Christians. We gave quite a stock of them to a young man that we've known for several years, uses the English name of Samuel. He's married now, wasn't when we first knew him, but he's now married and has a little one. His wife's English name is Shirley. She also speaks fairly good English. He and she both do. I had a really good time of fellowship with those that couple. It was good having a larger group because I schedule meeting people so close together to cram in as many as I possibly can while I'm there. So we were that day seeing people about 2 hours apart. And when Samuel and Shirley came, the couple that had been there before them was still there. So having several people and more than one hotel room to meet in, I was able to take Samuel and Shirley to my room and have a good talk with them. It was very encouraging to me, these young people that are so fervent in serving the Lord, and just very, very grateful to have the literature that we took to them. Well, one of the Christians that we went to encourage, and I guess I started out to say, too, that we're there to see people get saved among those that are acquaintances, and God has worked in that area, too. But one of the ones that we were there to encourage, I believe, was Janice. You've heard us maybe talk about her before when we've been here. She's about 30 years old. 10 or 12 years ago, my wife and I both had her in classes, and my wife was instrumental in, by means of Bible studies and so on, to lead Janice to the Lord. She's been a strong Christian now for these years, but she hasn't found a husband yet, because from back there in college, she told the students right in a communist classroom when she was asked to speak that she had to have a Christian husband, one that loved Jesus as she loved Jesus. She said all that in a classroom of a communist university. It made me a little bit nervous, but she has been strong and contending for that, that God has the right one and she's not going to marry until that happens. Well, her mom and dad are both Communist Party members. They've given her lots and lots of pressure. Mom says that she needs to get married, should forget trying to wait for a Christian. She just needs to get married so they can have that grandchild. Well, you see, when you've got the one-child law in China, there's only one child who can give grandchildren to his or her parents. And grandma, the hopeful grandma, shall I say, is wanting that grandchild to happen. So that's her reason for pressure, and the dad just doesn't want her to be a Christian. Anyway, this time meeting Janice, the Christian young man Sherman was still with us from when we had gotten together, trying to help us get tickets on to the next places that we were going. They turned out to be a little bit, take a little bit more time than we had expected. And it got close to time for us to meet Janice at a hotel, a lobby. So I decided I was going to have to go on and leave the rest of the group, most of them, with Sherman to get the tickets. So I went, and two of the young ladies in the group went with me to meet Janice. It turned out that that was just a really good time of fellowship, as those two young ladies got acquainted with Janice, sat there for an hour or two in a coffee shop talking with her. They exchanged email addresses, and we were discussing some of the things that Janice is facing. When I mentioned the fact that I remembered her in my class telling everybody that she needed to have a Christian husband, he needed to love the Lord as she does, when I mentioned that to her, she just burst into tears and cried and cried. So we were trying to comfort her, but I really believe that those two young ladies being able to sit there with her and being able to be that encouragement to her was very important for Janice. She does need our continued prayers. I don't know, as we pray for her, what exactly the Lord has in mind. You would think surely he would have the right young man, Christian young man, for her as a husband, but God knows all about that. So let's pray that she'll keep strong. Another one that we met was a younger Christian. He came from the last place where we taught, a language training center in the Beijing area out in the suburbs. We had, for a while, a community service class in the evenings, just no tuition charge. They could come in the evenings from the surrounding community and learn basic English. Now, in the training center itself, we required that they be up to what we called level 2 of English before they could enter. We didn't teach level 1, in other words, but that's what we were doing, teaching the beginner level English as a community service, because that's probably what most of them would need. Well, this young man came from working at a restaurant. He had somehow gotten money to come down there into the Beijing area from up in Inner Mongolia where he lived in extreme poverty, had nothing. And, of course, working in a restaurant in China doesn't pay very much. If you ate there, you would see why, according to the prices they have on the menu. Some restaurants, I wonder how they can serve the food at the prices they do, because I'd pay about that much if I just paid for the food at the market. But anyway, he was working there, not making much, but he wanted to come to those classes and learn a little English. So he did, and I had the first class giving them English names, and I gave him the name of Hiram, because Hai was part of his Chinese name. Hai is the character for sea in S-E-A-C, the ocean. And so anyway, he's gone by that name. He did eventually advance in English enough to get into the classes. We hired him as an assistant cook in the kitchen of the school. This school was operated by foreigners, by the way. We were all some kind of Christians in the faculty and staff, most of us Americans. So we were the ones that made the decisions about the school. And of course, we were there as an undercover Christian organization to help these people learn about the Lord. But of course, teaching other classes to them in the process. Well, Hiram went through those levels of the English training, finally was able, after being there, to go on to get some college classes. excuse me. But meanwhile, he was exposed to Christianity and seeing Christians, how they live. And God used that. He's certainly been a recipient of grace, but Hiram's still a relatively young Christian. He wrote to me after we had been there with this group. He said, "You know, I don't think I was really doing very well spiritually before you all came." But he said, "Being with those young people from America just encouraged me so much." Well, that's what makes it worthwhile. And I know that that's part of it. They don't have all the things to encourage them or to help pushing them in the right direction that we have here. Some of them can hardly find good Christian fellowship. Susan, who got saved just lately, one of my students from way back in the 90s when we were teaching in Changsha, China, We're still trying to find some good Christian fellowship for her. She has tried one of the government-controlled churches, and those aren't always the most satisfactory when the government's controlling to the extent that they are. But we're trying to find something maybe in an underground church group that's close enough to her and could be some real fellowship that she needs. So let's pray for these that need that fellowship, that are struggling Christians trying to live the life and walk the walk without a whole lot of encouragement. That's part of our responsibility, to pray for those that don't have the privileges that we have right here. Anybody have a question before we close the presentation this morning? Yes. Oh, definitely. I can't see that persecution really has let up much at all in China. I don't know how many I have been acquainted with as Christians that have spent time in prison, have been beaten, tortured for their faith, and there's some that have given their lives in recent times too. That's still going on. Anybody else? That's right. Well, there are a lot of police, too. So they worship with the knowledge that at any time, of course, they're meeting in apartments. Most Chinese live in apartments. So they meet in an apartment. They sometimes have a cycle that they go through, this apartment this time and another apartment different time, to keep the police from tracking them quite so easily. But they worship there knowing that at any time the police could open the door and they'd be in trouble simply for being there. They're not allowed, there's a law, something about how many people they're allowed to have in any dwelling, private dwelling, at a time. And of course that's aimed at keeping meetings from happening in homes. So there's some of the things that could get them in trouble. Of course, they're always interested to see who's the leader of this group, too. They want to zero in on that person if they can. So sometimes they really have different type of worship services anyway from what we do in the underground church, just about anywhere, I think. They don't really have a pastor, for one thing. They may have someone that's more or less a leader, but quite commonly, there may be several people that exhort on any given Sunday morning. I've been there when that's happened. Maybe 6, 8 different people get up and give the exhortation that God's put on their hearts, but nobody is just exactly the preacher. Any other question? It's the same as anywhere else in the world, except I'm not sure if some countries like China are hit quite as hard as America has been hit. But what happens in American economy is bound to influence the rest of the world. It hasn't been going on for very long, and I'll have to admit I haven't, but I have been hoping and praying that this will cause them to think seriously. I've gotten some things by way of email that would indicate that there has been some more serious thinking, and I believe we need to pray about that, that will happen. Anybody else? All right, we'll turn the service back over to Brother Gibson.
Our brother. Sorry.
Brother Ziegler.
We look so much alike, it's hard to tell us apart. Thank you, Brother and Sister Asbury's and the girls for being here this morning sharing with us. Ushers, if you'll come, receive this offering this morning.